Good morning. Let us enter into our time of worship as we hear the prelude this morning. We welcome all of you this morning on this first Sunday of October, and if you're visiting with us, we give you a warm welcome here at Myerstown Church of the Brethren. Today is the first Sunday of October, so we will be having our Love Feast and Communion service tonight. I hope that you can come out this evening for that, and there will be babysitting for Love Feast tonight in the Sunday School room across from the youth zone, and our Love Feast tonight is at 6:30. We're very pleased to have our evangelist revival speaker this week, Chris Smith. He is here from the Mount Zion Road Church. We welcome him this morning. We look forward to hear what the Lord's going to do with the service today and this week. And you can see in your bulletins that we have our revival services this Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We hope that you can come out for our revival services beginning at 7 o'clock. Do we have any announcements this morning to make? Let's all stand and sing our opening hymn, number 143 in a brown hymnal, "I Know Whom I Have Believed." Let's sing us to the Lord. Join me in a call to worship this morning. It's a responsive reading taken from Mark 10, 13 through 16. Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. Let us pray. Oh Lord God, we thank you and praise you for this privilege of coming into your house of worship this morning. Lord, every day is a blessing that you have given us. We thank you for the fellowship of the church, the fellowship of the believers that we have this morning, Lord God. We pray right now, Lord, that you send your Holy Spirit upon this place of worship. Lord, this service is nothing that we create, Lord. It's all about you. It's all about worshiping you. It's all about honoring you, O God. We pray, Lord, that you convict hearts today, Lord, that we would turn our hearts towards you, Lord, that we would humble ourselves as little children to come to you. And we thank you and praise you for this opportunity to worship you. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Senior choir this morning will sing two songs. The first one is Now Taste and See. That song is in honor of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and also in honor of our Love Feast and Communion this evening. The offertory statement is taken from 1 Chronicles 29, 11 to 12. Let's all read this in unison. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord,
and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for giving us the greatest gift, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank you for the privilege that we have to be your church. Bless this ministry that we do here in this church. We pray that these offerings, Lord, would provide the needs of this ministry as we serve you, Lord, and serve your church, Lord, throughout the world and here locally. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, the children can go. Children can go to children's church, and the ushers can come forward as we take up our morning offering. And our offertory hymn is "He Hideth My Soul." This time we're going to have a Brethren Disaster Ministry report for the group that went down to North Carolina.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I just want to start with our daily routine. When we got there, we had beautiful weather to travel, so thanks for your prayers for us. We really had beautiful weather to travel. On the way home, we had one little shower, and there was an accident ahead of us. Thank God where everybody was safe, and we thank you for your prayers and your support. So this is the church we stayed at. It was the First Presbyterian Church in Lumberton, South Carolina. The common issues were great. They were up all the way on the third floor, though, and when you were tired after a long day's work, you had to walk up the steps, but God was with us and gave us the strength, so we survived that part of it anyway. Okay, our daily routine, we got to get up at 6 a.m. You had to get up bright and early. And at 6:30, we made our own lunches and took them out, of course, on the projects. At devotions, we're at 7 o'clock. There's devotions every day. And then we had breakfast. And then we left for the trip. We loaded up and left to the job site at 8 in the morning. At noontime, we ate our lunch and worked till 4 o'clock and came back and had showers and got ready for dinner. Then we had devotions again at 6 o'clock, and we had dinner and played games in the evenings, cards, played a lot of cards, and had a lot of fun doing that. And it was 10 o'clock, lights out, ready for the next day. So that was our daily routine.
So as you see the pictures, we had we mostly stayed at just two houses. I think you worked at two different houses. I only stayed at one house the whole week, and so did the Amelia and Ken. I did mostly painting windows and taping up the windows to paint them, and then I also learned how to cut stones to lay the tile, the stones. Ken and Amelia. They painted doors and they painted trim also. And so in the pictures, you saw them painting. And then you did your favorite thing.
Mark, this is for you. I installed kitchen cabinets. So anyway, we did some of that and then did a little bit of plumbing to hook up the cabinets and things, a little bit of electrical. And I did a drywall finishing, which I can do that fairly well. So there's always something to do if you go on a trip. And the part I like about it, when you come out of there, you're like brothers. The people you work with, you really, really have a wonderful relationship with. And that's one of my favorite part of the trip. You're like brothers when you come out. And you never forget that experience. So we're going again in May?
In May, the week after Mother's Day. So we're going at that time.
So mark your calendars, and we'd like to get, we can take up to as many as?
As seven.
Seven, yeah. Or?
We can even do more.
We could do 15.
We could do more. So
that's a challenge. We don't know where we're going yet.
Sites change so rapidly, so we don't know yet. But it's going to be fun no matter where we go.
That's right.
So, you do not have to have skills. The leadership really teaches you everything you need. But if you have skills, that's great. They can certainly use it. Yeah. So yeah. I think the favorite thing I like to do, I like from the trip, is that the camaraderie that, you know, us, that we have together. Like, I learned, you know, a lot about who, you know, as we're traveling. And then we also learned, we were with some other men from Brownsville Church of the Brethren in Maryland. So we got to know other brethren from a different state and a different congregation. So it's just a really neat time. So we welcome anybody to come with us.
Yes. So I look at it this way. It's easy for me to give a week up of my life for someone that lost everything. So that's a challenge for you. See if we can get 15 to go next spring. Thank you.
Thank you, Earl and Melissa. I will say one thing about Brethren Disaster Ministry, along with any other service projects. There's always a need. There's always a need out there, and we thank you for that. As we come through a time of prayer, you'll see in your bulletins a listing of
names of people we need to lift in prayer. I want to give an update on a few folks that we need to remember in prayer. Mary Ann Gibble had surgery last Tuesday, and last time I spoke with her, she hopes to be going to a rehab center for rehabilitation. Also, keep in prayer Lori Saracini. She had procedure done, and she's recovering at home from her procedure. And also in the prayer chain, we need to lift up Mark and Jean Bomberger's grandson Keith. He had a leg infection. And also, you'll see in your bulletins that we need to remember this the Church of the Week that we're praying for. This week we're praying for the Drexel Hill Church of the Brethren. So let's all come to the Lord in our time of prayer. God, we just come to you right now, and we humble our hearts, we humble ourselves before you, because you are a holy God and a wondrous God. We thank you, Lord, that we have the privilege of being your children, being called children of God. And Lord, we just lift up, Lord, the many needs around us, Lord God, for the ones that are listed on the prayer concern list, Lord, for the ones who are facing illnesses, for situations and families that are very difficult. We pray, Lord, that you would give these individuals your strength and your healing. We pray for Lori Saracini, who had surgery this week, and the surgery went fine, but we pray that you would give her strength and encouragement as she recovers. We pray also for Mary Ann Gibble. We're thankful that her back surgery went fine, and we pray that you would guide her in her rehabilitation as she recovers. We lift up this morning Mark and Jean's grandson Keith, who has a very serious leg infection. We pray your healing touch to be with him, Lord God. And we lift up, Lord, the needs of the church, the needs of our community, Lord. We pray for our nation, for our president, for our leaders in Congress. We pray, Lord, that they would look to you for direction, that we would truly be one nation under God, that we would find our strength and refuge in you, Lord. Lord, right now we pray that you would just use our brother Chris as he is providing the message that you have laid on his heart. We pray that we would hear what you have for us this morning, Lord, in this message, Lord. Whatever the message is, Lord, we will give you, Lord, all the honor and the glory. For we pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and all the people of God said, Amen.
My wife and I have been here a number of times, sometimes together, sometimes separately. I think maybe the first time I was here, I was in a Salvation Army uniform. We were captains in, at the Lebanon Salvation Army. I see. I know I was here when I was at the Lebanon Rescue Mission. today I come as a child of the King, and I look forward to having these times with you tomorrow night, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. I apologize I can't be here this evening. I will be at Mount Zion Road Church as we celebrate Love Feast. We have a licensed minister who is leading it for the very first time. And as I am discipling him, I felt it was my responsibility to be at Mount Zion Road and him. If you've never been to Love Feast, or if it's been a while since you've been to Love Feast, I would encourage you to come tonight here and celebrate with your brothers and sisters the glorious sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And just celebrate that time together. Be united. There are wonderful fellowship opportunities when you're doing disaster relief, when you're serving other people. I don't believe there's anything like Love Feast for brethren as far as fellowship opportunity with the Lord. So please, come this evening and enjoy the fellowship and Love Feast. I'm supposed to read scripture, aren't I? Sorry. If you'd like to follow along with me, do you put it on the screen, or I encourage you to bring your Bibles and open your Bibles and look along with me. Underline, highlight. Every time you come to a meeting that I'm at, I'm going to be going to different scriptures, and I just encourage you to open your Bibles and follow along. I have this conviction that God the Holy Spirit speaks to everyone through his word, and that includes the congregation. The Holy Spirit is very gracious in that way. So John chapter 8, verse 31. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your father." "Abraham is our father," they answered. "If you were Abraham's children," said Jesus, "then you would do the things that Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the things your own father does." "We are not illegitimate children," they protested. "The only father we have is God himself." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God, and now am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." Now, the theme or the focus of the meetings that the Lord has laid upon my heart is children of God. And one of the things that we need to be careful of in the day in which we live is there's some untruth that floats around the world, but also floats around into the churches as well. And that is, all creation are children of God. And that's just not true. all creation are creation of God, but not children of God. You see, children are born of the Spirit. They're not born of a husband's decision. They're born of the Spirit. So when you hear that all creation are children of God, it's simply not true. We are all children of the fall. Brother Glenn mentioned that this morning, I believe, in Sunday school class. When Adam and Eve willfully disobeyed God, when God said, "You shall not eat from the fruit of knowledge, truth and knowledge of good and evil," when God said, "You must not or you will die," and then the serpent came and said, "Nah, he didn't really say that." The deceiver came and lied to Adam and Eve. And when they took of the fruit and they ate of the fruit, now they were fallen, disobedient, and banned from God's presence. Since that time, every human being who has ever been born has been a child of the fall, in need of a Savior. Amen? You can say amen, it's okay. It just means truth. Yes, I agree. We are children of the fall. Every person who ever has been born physically, is a child of the fall, a child of a lie, the lie of the serpent. And therefore, we need a Redeemer. We need a Savior. We need Jesus Christ. We need God to save us from ourselves. And to be born again, to be born of the Spirit and become children of God. Bottom line is, are you a child of God? Am I a child of God? That's bottom line. I want to go a few places before I get to the scripture this morning, which I normally do, actually. I believe Jesus had one message, one sermon. He had a lot of messages. He taught a lot about the kingdom of heaven. He taught a lot about righteousness. He taught a lot. But he had one sermon. This is my conviction. He had one sermon. It says in the Gospel of Matthew, after he was baptized, from that moment on, I think it's Matthew 4, maybe around 12. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." That was his sermon. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." Why must we repent? Because we're children of the fall. We must turn away from sin and turn away from the sin nature. A change of mind and a change of heart. We are children of the fall. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And in Mark, the same thing, chapter 1, can't remember what verse. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." I believe he had one sermon and a lot of teaching about the kingdom of heaven and repentance. And so that's always my message. Because I believe that's the Lord's message, that we all must repent. We must all turn to God, who has graciously given us the gift of eternal life, purchased on the cross by our Lord and Savior Jesus. God has purchased our salvation. Because we're children of the fall, we need a Savior. Amen? And if we aren't, if we haven't turned, let me go to the scripture here, I'm sorry. I should read it so I don't misquote it. From John 1, I'll begin at verse 10. Talking about Jesus, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Here it is, verse 12, John 1, 12. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, repent for the kingdom of heaven is near, he gave the right to become a child or to become children of God. This is a privilege. This is a right. purchased by the blood of Jesus. Just because I was born doesn't mean I have that right. That right was bought by God, purchased by Jesus. Gave the right to become children of God. Get this, verse 13. Children born not of natural descent, nor a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Please do not believe the lie. Not all of God's creation are children of God. We're all created, and we're children of the fall. The only children God has are children that have received Jesus Christ as their Savior and believe in Him and have bowed down to His Lordship. And what a wonderful privilege that is, amen? It's a beautiful gift from God. We can't save ourselves. There's nothing we can do. How do you earn Christ crucified? What can you possibly do except fall down before Him and say, Lord, have mercy upon me. I am a sinner. I am a sinner, and I need your salvation. I am a child of the fall. Some of us know that better than others. I didn't grow up in church. Well, I did, but by myself. And I didn't grow up in a Christian home. In fact, it was quite the contrary to a Christian home. Just a side thing for the Sunday school class. Alcoholism is not a disease. I know that firsthand. It's a choice, not a disease. It's not cancer. It's a choice. That's another lie. But when God convicted me, when the Holy Spirit came upon me and said, you are a selfish sinner, only then, in my mid-30s, only then was I able to turn to the Lord and say, please forgive me. Please forgive me. Because you know what? God is always right. He's always right. I just want to quickly go through a few scriptures. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. This is before the flood. You know, God destroyed the world with a flood back in the day. He's not going to do it again. Not with a flood, anyway. I think it's fire next time if I read the Bible right. But Genesis 6, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil for all the time. That's children of the fall, right? Isn't it? That's children of the fall. That describes them pretty good. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind, whom I have created, from the face of the earth. And of course, he saved Noah and his family, Noah, who was a righteous man. And then the world got repopulated again. But the descendants of Noah are not all righteous. The descendants of Noah are children of the fall. The descendants of Abraham are children of the fall. Your descendants and my descendants are children of the fall until they come to Jesus for the forgiveness of sin. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. This is one of my favorites. Because I can't call you evil. That wouldn't be very friendly of me, would it? Matthew 7:11. That's an easy one to remember. 7:11. Hear the words of Jesus. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the disciples. He's talking to the disciples, and he's talking to the people who come around to listen. And this is what he says. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Jesus hits the nail on the head. Bang! If you then, who are evil, he says. In other words, you children of the fall, selfish, self-centered, sinners, you children of the fall, even though you're evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more, your heavenly Father? Jesus said it. Jesus said it. We're children of the fall. Let me get back to John chapter 8. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, what did they believe? They believed, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. They believed his message, because that's what he preached everywhere he went. It doesn't record it that, but that's what it said. From that time on, he began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. The Jews had believed him, said, Jesus said, if you hold on to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The truth is, we're children of the fall. If we ask for forgiveness and we receive Christ Jesus as our Savior, and we bow down to him as Lord, he is Lord, amen? King of kings, Lord of lords, glory, hallelujah. I told him to cut me off, I start singing. Anyway, he is Lord. Lord of heaven and earth. And if we turn to him in repentance, in sincerity of heart, and that's, we can be free from sin. We can be free from the consequences of sin. The wages of sin is death. There's a consequence. Consequence to our sin. We can be free from that. I'll fly away. Isn't that a song? I'll fly away. You're not going to fly away if you're not free from the bondage of sin here on earth. So there's some Jews who received that, who believed that message. They believed it. But then it gets a little ugly, doesn't it? They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone. Now, think about that for a minute. First of all, they were slaves in Egypt, their descendants, but now they're slaves to the Roman government. They're occupied by a Roman government. So they're not acknowledging the truth. We have never been slaves to anybody. We're descendants of Abraham. Well, it doesn't matter who you are descended from, you're still a child of the fall. You could have godly parents. Probably a good number of you do, or did, have godly parents. That doesn't make you a child of God. You could have parents who are a child of God. That doesn't mean you're a child of God. Just like it doesn't mean I'm a child of God. That's something we must do ourselves to enter into the family of God. And it starts with repentance. Amen? So it gets really ugly. What's Jesus doing here? You listen to the message. Is that me? Could be. What is Jesus doing here in this conversation? Seriously, did you notice the conversation? What is he doing? He didn't go to the Dale Carnegie course, How to Win Friends and Influence People, did he? He's not. I have to stop moving, I guess. That's okay. What's he doing here? He's trying to save their lives. He's trying to save their lives. We must always remember that it is the Father's will that all would look to the Son and be saved. He's trying to share the truth with them so that they will put their faith in him and they will turn from the father of lies, Satan. Why is he the father of lies? Because of what happened in the garden. That's the beginning. And all lies come from him. And all lies glorify him. And so Jesus is preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Why? Because God loves us. He takes no pleasure in the destruction of the wicked. None. He wants all to turn to the Son and be saved. Brothers and sisters, we're all in the same boat. We're children of the fall until we put our faith in Jesus Christ, until we receive him as our Savior and believe that he is God and that he is Lord. Can I switch this or something? No? Okay. Not all creation are children of God. All creation are children of the fall. Jesus is talking to religious leaders here. So these are people who should know the difference. I'm not picking on religious leaders. I just want you to know these are individuals that should know. They should know when the Son of God stands right in front of them. Do you need this for recording? Because I can talk loud enough not to... Okay, let's try that.
All right. Lost my place. When we look at this scenario, when we look at Jesus and we look at his behavior, at first glance, it's not very kind. It's not very reconciling. It's not very, I don't know, loving at first glance. He has an opportunity to bring the truth to these men. In fact, it turns real ugly at the end of the scripture. It says, John 8:59, at this they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. Jesus was telling the truth when he said, you're trying to kill me. Why won't you listen to my words? And this is again, a fallen world with children of the enemy, children of Satan. They don't know it. I don't mean they're possessed. Please don't misunderstand me. But a fallen world that we live in. And so we're going to be inundated with lies. The biggest lie that's going around in the day in which we live is we are all children of God. It's not true. Only those who put their faith in Jesus Christ for the salvation of their souls. Those who repent. Get my exercise. And that repentance isn't once and done. Because we have a sin nature, we will all, I like the shadow box with the cross with all the sins. I like that. We must always be in a continual state of repentance, turning away from self. Jesus said, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. We must always be in a state of repentance because we are children of the fall, even when we've been adopted as children of God. Amen? Any cooks here? How often do you wash your pots, pans, and dishes? Once a month. Continuously, amen? Amen? I brought a little bit of my pile that's in the garage. These are my outside work clothes. Do you want to see them? Who wants to smell them? I don't wash them one time and then keep them for the rest of my life. Although I do keep most of my clothes for my whole life until I outgrow them. You see, we must be continually in a state of repentance. And we must cling to the truth of Jesus Christ. And we must turn from the lies of Satan. He's a liar, the father of lies, and he's lying today, and he's lying through people who are misled. In this case, it was the Pharisees, possibly the Sadducees. And so we must continuously seek the Lord and seek his truth. Now, I'm not going to beat this up much longer. Amen? Amen. I want you to come back Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. I think it's pretty clear, though. Jesus did not yield and submit to the lies. He did not embrace the lie. He courageously stood up for the truth because Jesus loves us and wants us to be saved. If you don't know the truth, and if you're living a lie, we cannot be saved. And so as we sing our closing hymn, I have forgotten what it is. Since I have been redeemed, closing hymn. Amen? First question I want to ask yourself, well, I'll ask the Holy Spirit, are you redeemed? Thank you. Amen. You know, you can go to church your whole life and not be redeemed. I don't know if you knew that. It's possible. Have it all up here. As Billy Graham says, and just never reached here. Are you a child of God? Have you repented of your sin? And do you belong to the family? That's the first thing. As we sing this closing hymn, please come forward and pray. Pastor will pray with you, or I'll pray with you. Somebody will pray with you if you like. Are you a child of God? Second, is there unresolved sin in your life? Is there sin that you have not asked for forgiveness for? Is there sin that you're holding on to? Unforgiveness is a pretty common sin in the church. Turns to bitterness. Is there sin that you're holding on to? Because that hinders your relationship with your heavenly Father. Jesus said, unless you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. That's about as clear as anyone can put it. Amen? So please, child of God, if you're not sure, come on down. We'll pray. Unconfessed sin. Get rid of it. Jesus used a hyperbole when he said, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. That's not to be taken literally, otherwise there'd be a lot of one-eyed, one-hand people in the world. Amen? But that's what he's talking about, sin. We cannot allow it in our hearts, in our lives, and in the house of God. Because then we're living a lie. As we sing this closing hymn, please feel free to come forward and we will pray.
I am in.
benediction is coming from Jude. I'll read a little bit of instruction before I get to the actual prayer. But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. And this is the prayer. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you.